Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
This is Skyline Chili Cincy 360, about Cincinnati, from Cincinnati. Sponsored in part by Skyline Chili. Stop by Skyline Chili for a three-way or cheese coney today. Feeling good? It's Skyline time. This is ESPN 1530, Cincinnati Sports Station. Here are James Rapine and Mo Egger.
Here we are on a dreary Friday before a big football weekend. Maybe not NFL-wise here in the Queen City, but we got plenty to discuss. I'm James Rapine. He's Mo Egger. Thank you for tuning in. And let's start with the skyline, because there's been all these renovations, $87 million in renovations at Fifth Third Arena. And if you follow Mo on Instagram, you posted this on Twitter too, I believe.
I did.
Yeah, or Twitter. You saw yesterday the main ingredient, what's going to make Fifth Third Arena great for the next multiple decades to come.
You can eat Skyline chili at a UC basketball game.
Skyline was there. Yep. You took a picture. It was a great photo.
Mm-hmm.
What'd you enjoy? I know you got some.
I went two cheese conies. It was delicious.
Both with cheese?
Both with cheese.
Oh, look at this.
Both with cheese.
It's amazing.
Mainly because, you know, first night, new operation. I don't want to confuse anybody. I figured if I just went two cheese conies. Also, because I've apparently offended so many people by not getting cheese on every single. I don't want to piss anybody off at the UC game last night, so I went two cheese conies.
He's Mo Egger. I'm James Rapine. This is Cincy 360. We'll start there. We also have Stucky coming up with his best bets of the week.
Hang on a second.
And Cocky Mo is going to join the show. He might have joining right now.
8 college football winners and 5 NFL winners for you. It's a Bengals bye week, so I've gone big.
Look at you. 8 college. 8?
8.
Ocho.
8.
In how many NFL?
5.
Literally Ocho Cinco. Cocky Mo is Ocho Cinco of the betting world. Mm. Look at what is going on here.
Mm.
So that coming up as well. We're stacked today. Let's start, though, with Fifth Third Arena.
Yeah.
You were there.
Uh-huh.
You took in a basketball game. I can't wait to go Wednesday and watch them play Ohio State.
The only game I can ever go to as a fan is the annual exhibition game.
They handled Tusculum 68-41.
Yeah.
But obviously that's not something people were worried about. Your initial impressions of Fifth Third Arena The renovations, obviously, you saw before, but this is the first time you watched a basketball game then.
Yeah, sports arena openings are a little unfair. Never go to a restaurant's opening in its first 90 days. Never do it. If a restaurant opens near your house, you're dying to go check it out, wait 3 months. Because they just got to work out some kinks.
Sure.
It's never a finished product. And much like the basketball team itself, Fifth Third Arena is a work in progress. So I went into it. Number one, I had walked around the place on Tuesday. I had seen how they were scrambling to get some things done, which happens with every project. Okay. I remember we did a morning show at Paul Brown Stadium the day before the first game, looking around going, how are they going to get this place done? And maybe one day they will finish Paul Brown Stadium. But that's just kind of par for the course when it comes to sports venues. Nippert Stadium was the exact same way. So I always go into those things understanding the place is never going to look like I hope it ultimately does. There is some work to do, admittedly. There is a lot of white walls in the concourses. I've been told one of them is going to be a donor wall. You got to decorate that with something, whether it's pictures, images, whatever it is, you got to decorate that.
Pictures of Mo Egger eating Skyline at his favorite venue.
I offered to sign one of the walls. That's a work in progress.
I bet you they took you up on that.
Yeah.
Value of the wall drops.
That is a work in progress. There were no stats available last night on all the ribbon boards and video boards they have, the big scoreboard, all of which looks really impressive. Statistics were missing last night. Obviously, I would think, obviously, that's going to change. But they just plugged stuff in the other day for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
There is nothing in the actual Arena Bowl commemorating the 61 or 62 championships, all the NCAA tournament appearances, all those banners that you saw in the old Fifth Third Arena on what I think is the south wall. Those aren't there. That's got to be added. I'm told it will be. All of that said, as a basketball venue, fantastic. Now, I had people send me their, you know, where they were sitting, and there were some seats that looked a little less desirable than you might think, but where I was sitting, I sat in my buddy's seats in the upper deck. number one, they actually have an upper deck concourse, so you don't have to go downstairs to go to the bathroom or to get a beer. All that's in the upper deck. The lower bowl, the concourses are wide. There's plenty of places to stand. You know, my buddy even said to me, man, it's kind of like Great American Ballpark. You know, I go to a Reds game. I love to stand. I love to stand, whether it's the Budweiser Bowtie Bar down the third baseline. Plenty of places to stand and watch the game. The bathrooms are, there's more of them. They're good-sized. They're clean, which obviously they should be. The food selection was obviously better. You mentioned Skyline. There's a ton of different bars, which is
nice.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
It was great. They got to work on the PA system a little bit. Couldn't hear the national anthem singers. But all of these things are kind of par for the course when it comes to a new arena. The first time, I remember going to the first game at the Cintas Center going, they got some stuff to work out. Now, they had the NCAA tournament banners and all that stuff up. I think that's something I noticed first of, okay, where's all that? But by and large, I think if you didn't go last night, if it's Wednesday against Ohio State or whenever you go, especially if you spent a lot of time in the old arena, you're going to be impressed. But I would imagine that throughout the course of the season, let's say if you're somebody who goes to almost every game or even every game, every time you go, you're going to see something added or something different or something tweaked. And then this happens all the time. You get through a season, and they convene and go, okay, what can we do better? What can we add? What should we take away? And then they'll change it a little bit. So it's a work in progress, but I don't know how, if you went, you weren't impressed by just the overall physical facility, the physical plant of the place.
All of the stuff you said, it's like, I've never done like a severe, you know, a big home remodel, but right. I've seen people who have.
Mm-hmm.
It takes a while to get the outlet covers on.
Yeah. Yeah,
you know, the baseboard you might have to add, or there might be a little trim left to put on, but you can see all that stuff's going to get done. They'll get the stats.
I remember.
They'll get the banners up, all that stuff, you know. So it's almost like putting blinds up in a new house. They'll get all that stuff
figured
out.
We moved from a dumpy studio in Mount Adams in 2004 to this place. And I remember when we moved, it wasn't finished. Mm-hmm. And as great as it sounds like, oh, it's got to be, it wasn't. I mean, there were just, you know, little things that just weren't
that,
ready.
That you finished. Don't even realize, maybe.
Yeah.
Until you start using them.
Exactly.
It's functional. Oh, we need to do this.
Exactly.
This. Yeah.
And so, you know, again, I equated to a restaurant. Never go to a restaurant in the first 90 days. Ever. I mean, it is a golden rule of mine. If they open a new restaurant I'm interested in, I wait 3 months. Because it's just, and like bar owners, restaurant owners, that's why they have soft openings. That's why they have friends and family. Mm-hmm. That's why the grand opening usually occurs a month after it's been open. That's why they had an exhibition game last night. That's why they're having two women's basketball games and I think a volleyball match before Wednesday. Like, you got to work some of these things out. But the overwhelming feeling I had was, this is the first time I've watched a UC home basketball game in an arena and not a gym. And that, to me, is the ultimate difference. Fifth Third, old Fifth Third Shoemaker Center was a gym. This is a basketball arena. It's in the round. There's not as much place for the noise to go when the crowd does get loud, which, frankly, here's my other pet peeve, okay? There were not 10,000 people at the game last night, which is fine, okay?
Yeah.
Whatever. You don't want to go to the exhibition game. Can you give someone your tickets?
Yeah, that's
so
true.
They're apparently sold out for the season. Season ticket packages sold out for the season. If you're not going to go, can someone use your tickets? This has bothered me about UC basketball for a long time. I don't care about attendance at all. I don't care. You know, there are people who are obsessed with who's going to games and not going to games. I don't care. There's eight people at the game and I'm having a good time. Whatever. If there's, you know, we're shoehorned in and I'm having a good time, I don't care. But if you care at all about the atmosphere of the games and you're not there and you have the tickets, how do you not give them to someone?
Yeah.
That just drives me nuts.
You're right.
That drives me nuts.
No, that's a good point. Why wouldn't you? Why would you want them to go to waste?
Why would you?
They just sit there.
You don't have anybody who'd want to go check out the arena?
Now they're
for the
worthless
first time?
Pieces of paper.
Exactly.
Instead, they could have went and watched and
can't go to the game. That's cool. Let
saw
someone else
a victory.
Use your tickets. Yes.
And kept stats on their own. I mean, it would have been great.
Yes.
Enjoyed some wonderful skyline with
exactly.
you and made fun of your cheeseless coney.
I had cheese on my.
I know, but from now on, I'm going to make fun of you for it.
I don't care.
It's all right. I'm not saying you should care. Cheeseless coney.
Fine.
But no, I can't wait to see it on Wednesday.
It's going to be awesome.
It's going to be awesome. They're going to beat the Buckeyes, too.
Eh.
Yeah, I don't know. I hope so. He's Mo Egger. I'm James Rapine. This is Cincy 360. Mo has photos, by the way, of Fifth Third Arena on his blog at ESPN1530.com. Stucky from the Action Network coming up in 10 minutes. This is quite interesting because yesterday we do 360.
Mm-hmm.
And
before we move on, can we talk about what you're wearing?
What's wrong with what I'm wearing?
Can we talk? You're
what's wrong with this? It was a shirt that was sent to me. I tweeted it out.
You're wearing a shirt. You put it on Twitter. Mm-hmm. It says it's an Auden Tate thing you wouldn't understand.
Yeah. Practice squad wide receiver, Auden Tate. You don't like when I told you people think he's Anquan Boldin.
I need next week your photo in that shirt with Auden Tate.
With Auden Tate?
Yes. Think he'd get a kick out of it?
I think so. Yeah. What am I going to say? Hey, Auden, I said that the Bengals don't think you're ready yet, no. And then your fan said this.
A fan of yours sent me this shirt. Let's take a photo. You don't have to dive deep into it.
No, I know. I'm just kidding. But, yeah, how about
that? The world's first ever Auden Tate t-shirt.
Regular listener Zim sent this. There's a photo on Twitter. There'll be one of me in it. Well, one of me in it as well that we'll take during the break. Yeah, I mean, here's the question.
Yeah.
And it's serious.
Uh-huh.
Who's faster, me in this shirt or Auden Tate?
My cousin.
He wins, right?
Cousin Jared will be a father by 10 a.m. on Monday. His wife is 9 months pregnant.
Yeah.
She is faster than Auden Tate.
Oh, so you'd take me. In a race. Wow, yeah. I'm shocked.
9 months pregnant.
Woo!
If she raced Auden Tate would come in third.
And I think I'm pretty fast.
Okay, well, if you raced Emily, her baby, and Auden Tate would come in fourth.
You're mean.
I'm accurate.
I don't know if he's that. He was good. He was good in practice.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
I'm the one who did that. I'm part of the reason because of those videos.
It's why I don't. It's why
videos
I don't watch
from training camp.
It's why I don't watch those videos. It's why when we
you watched them
when we do this show during training camp, you're like, oh man, there's this guy, this Auden Tate guy. I go, okay, tell me about the players who count. Tell me about the guys who are going to play.
I also said there's that Joe Mixon guy.
James really went out on a limb.
I also
there.
Said there's that Andy Dalton guy.
Whoa, boy, went out on a limb. So yeah. The guy that I had watched in the Rose Bowl?
Last year when Carl Lawson was a rookie, I said, oh, there's that Carl Lawson guy.
Uh-huh. Right, yes. Because I watched college football. I saw those guys. I watched Auburn games.
Here we go.
TCU games. And I watched Florida State games. Uh-huh. You know what I didn't see? Auden Tate run fast.
If you want to see the shirt, I will tweet out a picture.
Discovered Joe Mixon.
Easily.
If not for James, man, Joe might be buried on the depth chart.
I wrote about him first. Mm. Easily. I remember, because I talk about the draft before anyone else. Wrote about him first.
Yeah, because we didn't watch that year he played at Oklahoma. Nobody paid attention.
He's Mo Egger. I'm James Erpine. This is Cincy 360. Speaking of attention,
yeah,
Hugh Jackson loves attention.
Oh, of course he does.
Hugh Jackson, when did he get fired?
I love this. He got fired on Monday.
What's today?
Friday. Love this so much.
So he gets fired Monday.
Mm-hmm.
It's Friday. He did an interview with Cleveland.com yesterday.
Buffoon.
And today he's on First Take. Here's his new nickname, and I'm serious about this. Maybe a listener can send me a shirt with Hollywood Hugh on it. He is Hollywood Hugh. He's got to be talking yesterday to Cleveland.com and Mary Kay Cabot, and you're going to hear from Hugh in a second. Oh, I wanted Deshaun Watson, and I wanted Carson Wentz, and I wanted – why is he doing this? NFL teams aren't going to look at him differently, and why do you care what average Joe from Cleveland thinks?
I love this. I hope this is why he's doing this, because I think Hugh will be excellent at this.
No, this is the worst.
I think he'd be great on a pregame show. I do. I genuinely think he'd be great at that.
He's a football coach.
He's not a good one. I think.
In Puerto Rico, we call ourselves Boricua. We are proud, passionate, and full of life. On our island, adventure finds you. Strangers aren't strangers for long. The size of the audience doesn't change the beauty of the music. And we celebrate every last ray of sun. Live Boricua.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
he'd be great on TV. I think he's opinionated. He's a good-looking dude. People know who he is. The fact that he wasn't a winning coach, a head coach, who cares about that? That's not a big deal.
I think he's a good coach. I think he's not a good head coach.
I think
maybe.
He's more effervescent than Rex Ryan is. I hope this is his audition reel. Dude, I'm gonna offer all these hot takes about how I could have changed the offense. I could have fixed things. It's really not my fault. I want to see him on Undisputed. I'd actually watch it then. I want to see him on First Take with Stephen A. Smith and the guy with the 5 o'clock shadow.
He was on today.
I want all of that.
Does Max Kellerman always have 5 o'clock shadow?
I
want to
see him on a pregame show.
Is that a setting?
Have him doing games. He would be excellent at that.
Beard trimmer.
And it would keep him away from my favorite football team.
5 o'clock shadow.
I'm 1,000% on board. Go do broadcasting. That means you're adding value. It's something that I think he would be good at, and you're not working for the team that I root for. Awesome. We win. Win-win situation.
I get what you're saying. I would give that a 0.1 chance. He's coached football. He's always been able to be loud and be that. Come on. Which one do you think he's going to do first?
I don't know.
Coach more or go in the media?
Well, he's not coaching this weekend. He's doing media right now. He's doing the media rounds.
Oh, man.
I mean, so...
You know why, right? You've talked about it. Ego.
Mm-hmm.
He hates what's being said about him. And here's the problem. You can't control what people say about you.
No.
How old is Hugh? I don't even... 50?
He's in his 50s.
All right. He's in his 50s, and he hasn't learned this yet?
Mm-hmm.
You can't control the narrative. Like, you know this. You can't control... Oh, people want to call you an idiot, they're going to call you an idiot.
You think Bill Belichick cares about the narrative?
No matter what people say in Cleveland about Hugh Jackson, no matter what he says back, no matter what, and even it could be all facts, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to help you.
Why do these – show me a coach who cares about the narrative, and I'll show you a losing coach. John Gruden last night, right after all this negativity around here. Well, you care, man.
And here's the problem with these media rounds that he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
Is he does things like this, which sound good, but you could do them in a simple statement, and it's fine. Here you go.
I must thank the players for everything they've done for me, the fans. They've been outstanding. Obviously, I'm disappointed I wasn't able to give them the winning that they truly deserve. But I just think, these things do happen, but everybody's been great about it. Obviously, everybody wants the Cleveland Browns to win, and so do I. But I, like I said, I could not leave Cleveland without thanking everybody. Front office people, the equipment people, the food and catering people. Special thanks to Simon and Joe Sheehan, people who I know that kept me uplifted all the time.
What are you doing?
Those people were really, really important to my time here in Cleveland.
Why not make the calls?
Look.
You could contact... 99% of them.
That part of it is not important to me. The part where
but it's hollow. It makes no sense.
I don't care about that. The substance part is where he talked about taking over the offense and how he thinks he could have turned things around. And,
there's no audio of that. There might be on First Take. There wasn't on Cleveland.com.
Right, but he did an interview on Cleveland.com where he basically said in so many words, it wasn't my fault. I mean, that's how I took it. It wasn't my fault. And I think everybody agrees Hugh had an uphill battle in turning around the Cleveland Browns.
Mm-hmm.
And I think everybody, for his sake, wishes he would have had more of an opportunity with better players, maybe a better staff, certainly a better owner, a more stable organizational situation to have success. But if you paid attention to the 2.5 years he was there...
There he is.
If you paid attention to the 2.5 years that he was there, you saw common missteps. You saw frequent decision-making that left you shaking your head. He did have a say in who they took. He did have a say in which quarterbacks they bypassed. He did have a say in who they brought in. And then in one of the most confoundingly stupid moves of all time, he was, by all accounts, the guy trying to trade 2 picks for A.J. McCarron. I mean, I remember when I heard that going, that guy can't be the head coach. Nothing against A.J. McCarron, who got in the game last night, which was nice to see. That person can't be the head coach. That is such a mind-numbingly stupid decision to make. We can't do that.
Here, couple things there.
Mm-hmm.
I think the idea that he wanted Wentz and they said no, and he wanted Watson and they said no, and he wanted Mahomes and they said no. They were starving for a quarterback.
Right.
If he would have pounded the table, like really pounded the table,
mm-hmm.
I think he would have got one. By the way, he didn't want Mitch Trubisky
first
overall.
Right.
I heard that. I remember hearing that.
Right.
And they didn't take him. So there's one thing. Two, the A.J. McCarron thing, here's why I think he deserves a little bit of a break. And it's awful. I would never offer a second and a third. I think he knew he was getting fired or thought he was going to get fired and wanted to show he could win with someone and was desperate and was tired of having a rookie.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's like, all right, if I can win two or three games, maybe I can save my job. It was a very desperate move that obviously what was better for them, they turned that third round pick into Jarvis Landry. Right. I mean, it was better that they kept
absolutely
who they kept.
Yes.
But I don't blame him there for being a little desperate because I think he knew he was going to be fired otherwise. And he didn't. He didn't get fired.
You're going to face desperation in your life. Don't make stupid decisions when you're desperate. That's what separates winners from losers.
That's fair. I mean, and they didn't make the decision. Right. And Sashi Brown allegedly handled that on his own. But, yeah.
No, I love this.
The thing. We talk about locally, like, oh, should he come back or should he not? You think Marvin Lewis is a fan of him being on First Take right now?
Yeah, probably.
You think?
Yeah, because he's boys with him. I mean,
I don't think so, man. Marvin would never go on First Take.
What it tells me is that maybe they've made a decision that Hugh's not going to come here. I mean, to me, if Hugh's going to come here, it's a good question. Do you have him make the rounds on First Take and the local paper? I mean, do you do all that and then have him come to Cincinnati? I don't know. It strikes me as maybe this is what Hugh's going to do. And by the way, I'm really serious about this. I have no idea if he would be interested. I think he'd be excellent on TV.
Mm-hmm.
Insightful guy. People do know who he is. He's willing to speak his mind. I think he has a big enough ego. He embraced the showman aspect of it. I think he'd be really good at it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and I don't think Marvin would be good at it. I think he would be excellent at it. As a football fan, a football viewer, I think he'd be really good at that. He may not want to do it, and that's fine. I do think there's a place in the NFL for Hugh Jackson. I'm good with it not being here.
You know what he is? He's an offensive coordinator.
Okay.
That's what he is. You know what?
But the Bengals have that.
Sure. I'm not saying he should be with the Bengals, but that's what he is.
Sure.
What did he say? Oh, I thought I could turn around this offense. We finally had talent. If I was the guy, I might get the call in the place. Fine. He believes that. And by all accounts, he's been a good offensive coordinator. What are you? You're a host, radio show host, right?
No,
seriously.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean that because you're good at this, doesn't mean you're going to be a good manager down the hall.
No.
Managing that stuff.
No.
That's what a head coach is. It's two different things. That's why the NFL, the idea that, oh, this really good coordinator is going to be a good coach. It's not always the case. And Hugh Jackson's a prime example of that. I think that's what it is. He's not a great head coach. He's not great at managing. Is he good at calling plays and offense and getting the most out of Andy Dalton and others? Yeah, I would say
he's
so.
He's good at walking into a ready-made situation where the players are pretty much set and getting a lot out of them. I know that. By the way, that's not a shot at him. He did a good job doing that.
Mm-hmm.
He's good at walking into a situation where the pieces,
I think he did pretty good in 14,
the,
too.
The pieces. Oh, absolutely.
With all those injuries?
With all those injuries, absolutely. He's good at walking into a place where the pieces are given to him, and you say, Hugh, here's what you got to work with. Excellent. I'd love to see him get that opportunity again. But now here's what we know about him. He's a finger pointer. He is. Mm-hmm. He's a finger pointer. He's a little bit of a, you know, sort of
he's a diva.
A little bit of a locker room lawyer, if you will. I mean, there's some of that.
Got some diva to him.
Do you want that with your offensive coordinator? There's a lot of offensive coordinators. There's a lot of good football offensive minds. Mm-hmm. There's a reason why in most NFL cities you never hear from the offensive coordinator. Boy, you heard from Hugh a lot when he was here.
You know what's interesting, too?
I bring this up to you often. As a former Bengals assistant told me once, you think Hugh Jackson's a good coach because Hugh Jackson tells you he's a good coach.
The interesting thing to me about this, and we'll get to Stucky of the Action Network in just a second, the Cleveland Browns have media availability for their offensive coordinator every week, for their defensive coordinator every week, for their special teams. Why? That is crazy. Like, you guys have won... What, four games in 3 years?
It reflects interest. I mean, I don't have a problem with that. It reflects interest.
Is Bill Lazor up at the podium down there?
There's no interest. The Browns are covered differently up there.
Sure.
They just aren't.
No doubt about it. I agree. I'm like, man, you want discord between him and Haley? You want them fighting? Yeah, get them both in front of a microphone.
Right.
Spouting off two big egos.
Exactly.
That's why you avoid that.
In that regard, I couldn't agree more, but this is... Hugh is a self-promoter.
Yep.
Now, I don't say that begrudgingly. I work in a business filled with self-promoters. It's okay, but that's what he is. What is he doing right now on television? Literally as we speak, he is self-promoting.
Yep.
He's promoting the Hugh Jackson brand.
Former Browns head coach.
That's what he's going to do. That's what he's going to do. When he was the offensive coordinator here, We said it a couple of times. Boy, it kind of feels like this is all about Hugh putting it on the table, showing, hey, here's my big playbook. Here's all the crazy stuff I can do. And like, okay, can the tackle be the tackle? Can we just line up and play football, Hugh, right? But there was an element that comes with him. Mm-hmm. Now, that doesn't mean that he can't get the most out of a quarterback or call plays or lead men or design game plans or work with a young quarterback. And none of that. But that is what he is. So when you bring him into your staff, whether it's here or somewhere else, understand Hugh Jackson's going to promote Hugh Jackson. Mm-hmm. I listened to the SI Media podcast the week before Hard Knocks came out. And the guy who was basically in charge of putting together Hard Knocks was on with Jimmy Traynor on SI's media podcast. And they asked him, like, all right, who do you think the breakout star of Hard Knocks is going to be? And the guy's like, oh, it's going to be Hugh Jackson. Like, it's going to be Hugh. Like, Hugh knows the camera's there. He knows. Like,
he wasn't, by the way. I think he looked the opposite. I think Hard Knocks made him look bad.
I don't think it made him look bad or good, but that's...
Oh, man.
That's what he is.
I mean, Tyrod Taylor, like, you should put cameras up so we can see this and this. I don't think
it made him look bad or good.
And I don't think that's as big of a deal as people made it out to be.
Yeah.
But people pounce on stuff like that.
Right. Who cares? But that is, Hugh's a self-promoter.
Mm-hmm.
And what he's doing right now is he is promoting Hugh Jackson. That's okay. But if you hire him, especially in a non-head coaching role, understand a part of his agenda is going to be him. That's always been the case.
No doubt about it. He's Mo Egger. I'm James Erpine. This is Cincy 360. Up next, you're going to hear from the Cowboy. Jeff Brantley's going to... The Cowboy.
The Cowboy.
Did you know who that was? Jeff Brantley going to discuss new Reds pitching coach Derek Johnson and more, plus Cocky Mo's best bets of the week.
Oh.
And Stucky of the Action Network is going to join us next on ESPN 1530.
Now, Cincy 360 resumes. Brought to you by Safe Auto. Give us 3 minutes, save up to 25% on ESPN 1530, Cincinnati's sports station.
I'm James Erpine. He's Mo Egger. This is Cincy 360. Every week at this time, we're joined by Stucky of the Action Network to talk about the games you should bet on this week. You can follow him on Twitter at Stucky2. The Action Network is the app that makes you a better bettor with real-time spreads, decades of gambling-specific data and analysis, and the ability to track every bet you make. Download the free app at actionnetwork.com/app. Stucky is with us now. I appreciate the time. How you doing?
Hey, what's going on, brother? Thanks for having me.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for coming on with us. Let's start on Sunday. Is there anything that sticks out to you? There's a couple big matchups in the league, but what sticks out betting-wise with the Bengals off?
Yeah, it's actually a pretty tricky NFL weekend. There are two games that stick out that you mentioned, and that's the Patriots and Packers, which is a Sunday night game, and then the Sunday afternoon game with the Rams and Saints. I think the Saints might be a little undervalued here. I mean, the Rams have, you know, they're...
In Puerto Rico, we call ourselves Boricua. We are proud, passionate, and full of life. On our island, adventure finds you. Strangers aren't strangers for long. The size of the audience doesn't change the beauty of the music. And we celebrate every last ray of sun. Live Boricua.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Undefeated, they're 8-0, but they've had a lot of close calls that they've escaped at the end, you know, last week, also against the Seahawks. And Drew Brees, for whatever reason, he loves coming home after two straight road games, 11-0 against the spread in that spot over the last 7 years. And in regards to the Packers-Patriots, you know, this line opened at 7 and immediately was bet down. Sharp money came in on the Packers, and it now sits around 5. I think at 5, you have to look at the Patriots here, especially with the Packers trading Clinton Dix. You know, they already struggled with deep passes. Now they're going to have to try and, you know, cover Gronk and the Patriots' deep passing game. The only thing that concerns me is if the Patriots lead by 11 in this game with a minute 50 to go and Rodgers gets the ball, you know you have a losing ticket because the Packers are going to get out and score a meaningless touchdown to get in the back door.
One of the things I like most about the Action Network is you take a look at nearly, not even nearly, at literally every variable, weather, who the head referee is going to be, everything. When it comes to gambling and a team has made a midseason coaching change, historically, how do bettors react?
Yeah, I mean, I think that it depends on this sport, and you're right. We do look at everything, especially in college football, this time of year. You really want to focus on the weather, especially in the Midwest. You know, they're going to have a lot of winds, and you know, winds have a high correlation with totals. And you know, the coaching change, there's a lot of angles there as well in certain sports. The problem is that it, you know, you worry about sample size. How big of the sample size is it? But it's something that we do look at, and you can look at it one of two ways. You know, I think down in Maryland, they had all the drama this week with DJ Durkin when he came back. You had players rebelling, and then they let him go. Where I think it could serve as a rallying point. And then in Cleveland, you know, it's really, okay, how would they look at Hugh Jackson? And I don't know if he was, you know, he was a player's coach. So do they say, you know, I don't like this move midseason? So it really depends, I think, on the team, the situation, and the sport. But you're right. All these other variables are going to play a huge role in sports betting. And the win specifically this time of year, I mean, you can look at Wyoming and San Jose State. San Jose State averages 2 yards per rush. That's the worst in the nation. Only one team has averaged fewer yards per rush in the last 5 years than San Jose State. So they can't run the ball. And they're going to go against a good pass defense in Wyoming. And 28, 30-mile-per-hour winds with possible snow in Wyoming. The over-under is only 39. I still like the under. I don't know how San Jose State scores.
Stuckey of the Action Network is with us. Let's ask you about the Bearcats. They play Navy on Saturday. Last I saw, it was 13.5 or so. How do you feel about that one?
Yeah, I mean, I think Cincinnati should be okay here. They have big revenge, so I think that they'll be motivated, even though you know you could say that they might get caught looking ahead to a much bigger game against UCF. But, you know, this Navy team has been just dreadful. And, you know, it's not your typical Navy team that it doesn't matter who's in a quarterback, they plug in and then they're going to score and run the option. The problem is that they lost five straight, and you know if you're going to bet Cincinnati here, you're really selling Navy at its low point, and you know you don't really want to do that. You would tend to want to buy Navy, and the good thing with backing a team like Navy is they're going to try to the end. So if they're down 20, again, there's high backdoor risk with this game. Mm-hmm. If they're down 20, Navy, you know, they're going to try to the end. They're going to run that option, and they can get in the backdoor. I think the line looks about right. I don't think Cincinnati has anything to worry about as far as an upset alert. And I think all they want to do is get out of here with a win and start getting ready for games that mean more to them. So, I don't think there's much value on the side either way.
Yeah, USF and UCF still in front of them. When you look at the college football playoff, let's talk futures in college football a little bit, because it feels like Alabama versus the field, right? Alabama, the overwhelming favorite. People are calling this the greatest college football team of all time. And obviously they have a very tough task on Saturday, tomorrow, against LSU. But if I'm looking for value, if I'm looking ahead, I'm trying to bet who's going to win the college football playoff, and I don't want Alabama, who right now would you say, if you know, gives me the best value?
Yeah, it's an interesting question. And Alabama really doesn't have any value. And they're minus 250 to win it all, which is absolutely crazy because you know they might have to go through Clemson or Georgia or Michigan. And the problem with the futures market right now is you pretty much know there's about 10 teams that have a shot of making it, and there's odds for them all. And you can actually project out with projected lines, and you can look at our power ratings on actionnetwork.com. You can project out what each money line would be. And if you were to parlay all of the money lines for some of these teams that would have to win out, which is what they would have to do to win it all. So let's take LSU, for example. They're listed at 30-1. Well, in order for LSU to win it all, they'd have to beat Alabama this weekend. They're 14.5-point underdogs. Then, you know, they'd have to beat a number of other tough teams. Then the SEC championship, maybe they'd have to beat Georgia. And then in the playoff, they'd have to beat Alabama again and then maybe Clemson. If you parlay all those for them to win out, yeah, the true odds are about 350-1. That's their real chances. So if you think that LSU can win it all, what you should do is take whatever you want, $50, bet it on LSU money line this weekend. If it wins, take that and then bet it on that money line next weekend and then keep rolling it over, and that you get a better payout. From a value perspective, I actually think Clemson might have the most value. They're only listed at plus 350, plus 400, but their true odds are about, you know, plus 300. They're on pace to be a favorite of, you know, 15, 16 points in every single game. Right now, they're projected to play Virginia in the ACC championship game, where they'd be maybe 20-point favorites. They have the easiest path. They're playing really well, Trevor Lawrence, in that defense. If you're looking for a little better odds, maybe Michigan. If you're going to find one defense that can maybe match up with Alabama besides Clemson at a little better price, I think Michigan is actually the look.
He is Stucky. You can follow him on Twitter, at Stucky2. Joins us every single week from the Action Network. Stucky, we appreciate the time, as always.
Absolutely. Have a great weekend, guys.
You too. Take care. Good stuff there. And are you excited, Mo? I mean, now's when you can get really excited.
There's no reason for me to be excited because I already know where I'm putting my money. The excitement should really be on your end because you're about to hear where you should put your money this weekend.
Hold on. Let me get my pen. All right. You hear the click? Click.
Just want to point out on this show last week, what did we do in the NFL? 3-0 burger. What do we do in college football? 4-2. That's good weekend.
All right. You ready?
Pretty good weekend.
Ready? 3-2-1. Here are Cocky Mo's best bets of the week.
I love this weekend in college football. It's the first weekend after the college football playoff rankings come out, so you kind of have an idea of who needs to do what. It starts with, I think, the biggest game in University of Kentucky football history. Beat Georgia at home. You're going to play in the SEC championship game for the right to get bludgeoned by Alabama. The over-under is low for a reason. Kentucky's defense is very good, but 98th in the country in stuff rate. And I just kind of feel like Jake Fromm can pass against them. I like the over just slightly, which is saying something given how bad Kentucky's offense was against Missouri last week. Said this all year long. Vegas has undervalued the Wildcats. I think they continue to, giving them 9.5 points at home. I just can't do it. I think Fromm has a big day. I like Georgia to cover it barely. I like the over, despite how good Kentucky has been. The Wildcats have helped me a lot this year. I hope they hurt me tomorrow because I genuinely want them to win. I think they're one of college football's great success stories. For them to be in the SEC title game in the prelude to a basketball season that for them is going to be special, I think would be a lot of fun. But I'm taking the Bulldogs. I'm giving the points, and I'm taking the over. Michigan State, Maryland. Maryland, obviously, they have a punter being beaten up by another punter. Players saying there are no fights. The DJ Durkin situation.
I'm all about punter fights.
That school is a mess.
What do you think they do, throw erasers at each other? Throw kicking shoes at each other?
Apparently a lot worse than that. Michigan State is only laying 2 points. I'll lay those points. Give me the Spartans all day, every day. In the American Athletic Conference, this number screams take the over. 64.5 between Memphis and ECU. Connecticut's terrible. If not for UConn, ECU might be the worst team in all of college football. They are dreadful. Second worst in the American Athletic Conference. Memphis has to lay less than 2 touchdowns. Give me the Tigers. Upset special. Kansas State getting 8 against TCU with no Sean Robinson. They've got 2 offensive linemen out. They've got 2 defensive starters out. Give me the Wildcats. K-State getting 8. Michigan, Penn State's lines are terrible. This line's a little big. People are calling it the Wolverines Revenge Tour. I'm buying them. That's a good value play to win the college football playoff. Give me Michigan, -10.5. The puzzling line of the week in college football is Florida only laying 6 against Missouri. That defense against that offense that Missouri played with Kentucky last week. I'll take Florida laying 6. Ohio State has outscored Nebraska 118-17 in its last 2 matchups.
By 101.
They're at home, coming off a bye and a loss, and they're only laying 17.5 points. Are you kidding me? If not for UConn and ECU, Nebraska might be the worst team in college football. Give me the Buckeyes. I will not bet this game. Navy, 13.5, that running attack. Cincinnati's offense has been uneven the last couple of weeks. Des Ritter was great in crunch time, but it still goes through lulls. The Bearcats are going to win the football game. They're going to beat USF. It's going to be a huge showdown against UCF in 2 weeks. Don't be surprised if College Game Day is there, which is going to be interesting because UCF fans hate Kirk Herbstreit. But from a betting standpoint, the number's just a little bit too big. Navy's too good on the ground, and at some point they're going to break through and play well. So give me the Midshipmen, +13.5.
Real quick.
Yeah.
The one that stands out to me, most of them, it makes sense to me.
Yeah.
Michigan -10.5.
The number's a little big. Their defense is legitimate. Penn State on the offensive line gets crushed, and as well as McSorley played against them last year, people keep talking about the Michigan revenge tour. I'm buying it, at least until they play Ohio State.
Ten and a half's
a bit much. If you could buy it a little bit longer, a little bit lower, if you want to wait till kick time, I get it, but I like the Wolverines. Ooh. In the NFL, really quick, Green Bay just traded away one of its best defensive players. Not good when Tom Brady's your next opponent. Give me the Patriots minus -6. If Hugh Jackson was there for the Browns this week, I'd be tempted to take Cleveland. They have a very good defense. Getting 8.5 points against the Chiefs, I just don't like teams coming off coaching changes. And as much as people talk about, oh, there's a surge of whatever when a team gets a new coach, from a gambling perspective, that's actually not the case historically. Give me the Chiefs minus 8.5.
By the way, that surge of whatever is going to come to a halt when you actually hit whatever.
Right.
Whatever is the Kansas City Chiefs.
Exactly. So give me the Chiefs and 8.5. Pittsburgh is getting 3 points against a Ravens team that's lost 3 of its last 4, looked horrible last week, and is really beaten up with injury. I'll take the points. Give me the Steelers. Ryan Fitzpatrick gets the start for Tampa Bay.
I
almost called him Fitzmagic. The Fitzmagic runs out this week against a defense that's far superior than the one that he carved up last week. Carolina has to lay some points. This number's a little higher than I'd like, but still I'll lay him. Give me the Panthers. Texans get Demaryius Thomas and a point against Demaryius Thomas's former team.
Yeah.
Give me the Texans.
Don't blame you.
And the Magic runs out this week for the Los Angeles Rams. Look, my Super Bowl pick, I think, the Rams. Great team, great coach. Philip Rivers, Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers, and who am I leaving out? Oh, Pat Mahomes have combined to hang 112 points against the LA Rams in those 4 games. I got Drew Brees. I only have to give a point and a half. L.A., 4 of the last 5 wins have come by 14 points combined. The Rams are great. They're not that great. They go down this week against the Saints team that has a legitimate defense for a second consecutive year. They've been really good the last 6 weeks. Luck runs out for the Rams, who I think lose their next 2. Saints come to town next week with a measure of momentum after they beat the Rams, giving just a point and a half. Give me the Saints.
Wow. It's a lot there. And all of them are going to be up at ESPN1530.com.
As soon as I get motivated, yes.
Okay, so they will be up there as well. Those are Cocky Mo's best bets of the week here on ESPN 1530. We have quick hits to get to as well. But first, Mo.
Yeah.
Let's discuss just a little bit of Reds here. A little bit of Reds baseball because they made a move this week.
They did.
And they bring in a new pitching coach in Derek Johnson. He comes from Milwaukee.
Mm-hmm.
And no one was more excited about this move. I'm not even sure. Maybe the Reds organization was as excited as Jeff Brantley was.
Yeah.
But Jeff Brantley goes on Twitter and is like, woo-hoo-hoo! And is really excited.
Oh.
So I had him on the show yesterday when I filled in for you.
Yeah.
And I asked him what about Derek Johnson was so exciting.
Well, part of it is I've known of Derek's work since he was first at Vanderbilt. I live in SEC country. Vandy has had some phenomenal pitchers that have come through there, not just the David Prices or the Sonny Grays that have made it to the big leagues, but there are a lot of other guys that have come through there that have benefited from the tutelage of Derek Johnson. And I think Derek really exceeds not only in the analytics part of pitching, but probably more so in the communication of individual tactics and how you're supposed to go about handling yourself when you're on the mound, whether it be emotions, whether it be pitch selection, or whether it be location or mechanics. I think he's an individual guy, and it provides for a great team chemistry as far as the pitching staff is concerned.
Jeff Brantley is with us here on ESPN 1530. The thing that stood out to me, and I'm not going to pretend like I know much about Johnson's work, but the fact that the Brewers had extensively went after him, and they were trying to retain him. You're talking about one of the better teams in the league, in the sport, the winners of the NL Central, and the Reds are able to pluck him and get him on their side. I think that says a lot that, hey, the team he was working for wanted to keep him, and the Reds are able to get him.
Well, I think if you look back, let's go back even 2 years, the Brewers were known for their offense, not for pitching at all. And in 2 years' time, what Derek Johnson has been able to do is really transcend a lot of the thought processes of some of the guys that were there. Now, they've had guys that have been in the big leagues for a decent amount of time, but they just have not been able to quite, I guess the best way to say it is figure it out. I think you get to the big leagues and there are certain switches that have to be flipped or have to be turned or sometimes deciphered, and I think Derek is awfully good at that. But you look at the way that the Brewers Club has really turned things around, and granted, Craig Counsell gets the majority of the credit here, mm-hmm. and he's the manager, and that's kind of the way it goes. You know, the manager gets the credit as long and as well as the big name players, but the guys that are behind the scenes that do a lot of the dirty work, Derek Johnson is a guy that's really brought that club to the forefront as far as pitching is concerned. I mean, that's what everybody talked about when the Brewers got into the postseason this year, is that their pitching was carrying them. They weren't talking about Ryan Braun and Christian Yelich and Lorenzo Cain as much at the end of the season as they were back in June and July.
Jeff Brantley is with us, and you mentioned managers. Obviously, the Reds, they hired David Bell. What are your impressions of him and your thoughts on the hire?
Well, I've always thought that David was going to be a major league manager, and it just seemed like, because David never had on a Cincinnati Reds uniform, and he was with the Cardinals, he was with the Cubs, I was afraid that he was going to be the next Bruce Bochy out in San Francisco. And, you know, once David got that job out there, I was afraid we weren't going to be able to get him back. And fortunately for the Reds and the Reds fans, and really probably more than anything else for the Reds players, they'll have a guy that has put on the uniform. He's been in a big league environment. He understands what it's like to play every single day. And I think he understands what it's like to pass and fail at the big league level. And that's not really something that you can teach a guy that's never been there. David's put on the uniform. He understands what it's supposed to be like. He also understands the value of hard work, but he also understands probably as much as anything the value of communication.
That's Jeff Brantley. He joined me yesterday. That entire thing is podcasted at ESPN1530.com. Mo, real quick, on the Reds. Obviously, now it's a matter of who they're going to add, what pitching they're going to bring in mm-hmm. for Derek Johnson and David Bell to work with.
Mm-hmm.
To me, in one name that was mentioned, you mentioned it, and CBS Sports doubled down and mentioned it as a realistic free agent target for the Reds. Dallas Keuchel from Houston.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Sign me up. Here's my question, and I don't think we have an answer to this. The obvious question for a lot of people is, what's it going to cost? Now, Dallas Keuchel kind of squeezed out of that rotation in Houston, you know, because they have all those other guys. He pitched a lot of innings. Mm-hmm. He gave up a lot of hits. I can handle all that. What I want to know is, this to me is sort of the question that I don't think anybody has the answer to quite yet. Last year, what happened in baseball? Last offseason? Nothing. Everybody sat out. Why? For a couple of different reasons. I think, number one, I think we've wised up to what we're paying free agents typically for their down years, because guys don't hit free agency in baseball until they're 30 years old on average. So I think the sport has gotten smarter, but I also think there were a lot of teams like the Reds. It made no sense for the Reds to be huge players in free agency last year. Mm-hmm. And by the way, what they did do, they got right. Hughes and Hernandez.
Bullpen.
Primarily.
Yeah, absolutely.
I wonder how many teams a year ago were where the Reds were, sitting out. Hey, you know what? It doesn't make sense for us to be big players. But now this offseason, it's like, you know what? We've got some money to spend. Now we're going for it. What does that do for the prices of these guys?
Mm-hmm.
Does it drive up what it might cost to Dallas Keuchel? I don't know the answer.
And that would stink, because you don't want to buy high.
Right.
Last year's the year where if you can buy low.
Exactly.
So I totally agree.
I kind of wonder how many teams are saying the same thing publicly or privately that the Reds are, which is like, oh, you know what, this offseason, we're going to go for it. That might make it a little bit more competitive and thus a little bit more difficult to get a Dallas Keuchel. But just his profile, look, you're not going to get the reigning Cy Young Award winner. You know, you're not getting Clayton Kershaw,
mm-mm.
who's not going to be the reigning Cy Young Award winner in a couple of weeks. But Dallas Keuchel, to me, represents a high-end, high upside upgrade from what they have. I just want to know what it's going to cost. And ultimately, can you convince him to want to pitch here?
I think in a perfect world, if you get Keuchel, you trade for a player, a younger player, because he is 30,
mm-hmm.
a younger starting pitcher that can be maybe a borderline ace or projects to be that one day, and you add him with Luis Castillo. Ideal world.
Fantastic. Fantastic.
So, I don't – much easier said than done.
I want to say it was Jad Dodson
and I, if I'm attributing the wrong person, but tweeted something that I agree with. If Luis Castillo has to be on your staff next year.
Sure.
But if he's your ace, that's a problem.
Agreed.
Absolutely. I wish Keuchel's parents would have named him Michael. Michael Keuchel would have been fun.
Is that why you were smirking?
Yeah.
I was like, what did I say? That was funny. Michael Reds Keuchel. Need to add pitchers.
I hope Dallas has a little boy named him Michael.
Maybe it's his middle name.
Dallas Michael Keuchel
to the Reds. Maybe it'll happen. Quick hits are next, which are going to include a huge weekend in college football. Lamar Odom, Brady Rogers.
I'll make a bet with you. If the Reds get Dallas Keuchel on his show on 700 WLW, Lance McAllister will play the theme from the TV show Dallas.
Oh, man. I'm not betting against that. That's a guarantee. That's a guarantee. I couldn't even never watch an episode of Dallas in my life. Quick hits are next on ESPN 1530.
Cincy 360 continues on ESPN 1530, Cincinnati's sports station.
It is the Skyline Chili Cincy 360 show on ESPN 1530. Mo Egger, James Rapine, Stephen A. Smith coming up in about 5 minutes. And Bengals pep rally this afternoon at 3:05. By the way, think of it. I'm doing it this afternoon. I'm taking my grandmother turns 90 years old today. And I am literally getting off the air with you. And I am stopping by the Skyline Chili in Erlanger, and I am taking her 6 cheese conies for her 90th birthday.
If she eats all 6, I'm buying her 6 more.
She'll eat all 6. There ain't no doubt about that.
Okay.
She put in her order this morning. I want 6 cheese conies.
Really?
6 cheese conies.
She's not going to eat them in one sit. Really?
You've never been around my grandmother.
Tell her, double down. I'm going to get her 6 more and send next time you go.
So?
I'll front the bill. She gets 6 more than
if
she
there's
eats 6.
Someone in your life who's been as influential to you as my grandmother has been to me, do that for them this weekend. Take them 6 cheese conies because I'm doing that for grandma in about 20 minutes.
It's time for Cincy 360 Quick Hits on ESPN 1530.
Quick Hits is a service of Rumpke Restoration. Obviously, this weather bad. It's been raining like crazy. If you have any kind of water damage or you need your carpets clean, maybe you have a flooded basement, go to RumpkeRestores.com. Again, RumpkeRestores.com. UC against Navy tomorrow, 3:30, Mo. I'm excited.
Cincinnati gave up a school record number of rushing yards against Navy last year. They're not nearly as explosive, but it's the same MO. It's the triple option offense. Do the Bearcats defensively show up ready tomorrow?
Yep, and then we got UK, Georgia at the same time. I have to do split screen. I'm interested in both. Split screen in that bad boy.
Okay.
I'm just letting you know how I'm.
Thanks for the update.
Yeah. Anyway, UK, Georgia. I think, and you talked about it. I think Georgia gets it done.
I think Georgia wins. Terry Wilson. Look, I mentioned the Wildcats have been one of college football's cool success stories in the top 10 of the college football playoff, which is remarkable. It's Terry Wilson against this kind of opponent. I'm not buying it.
John Gruden yesterday said the Oakland Raiders is a great organization, and there's been a lot of negativity surrounding them, but quote, we're going to build a championship football team here. You buy it?
Who's more delusional, him or the madman that's now in charge of the Browns, Greg Williams?
I did that yesterday. Who's lying more? And I played John Gruden saying, everyone wants to play for the Raiders. I'm getting calls all the time.
Right.
And then Greg Williams saying, yeah, 4 jobs just come up and sign.
Exactly.
I don't know who's lying worse, but I think both. Both are liars. What's wrong with it? We complain about Marvin. Those dudes are crazy.
Those guys are delusional. You ever like know the guy who's like, you know, always telling you about all the girls that he dated? Chances are he didn't. Dude. It's the guy who never talks about it who's dating a lot of girls.
Totally agree. By the way, the guy who gets into a lot of fights doesn't get in any fights.
Exactly.
The guy who's quiet can fight.
The guy who goes to the casino is like, oh man, I won $15,000. No, he didn't. The guy who doesn't mention it, he's the guy who won.
Yeah, totally agree. Huge weekend, even though the Bengals are off in NFL football. Brady Rogers, Sunday night, sign me up. I can't wait for this one. Rogers leads in head-to-head matchups 1-0.
And probably the last time they'll play each other.
Probably will, because the Green Bay Packers are failing Rogers.
Yes, they are.
They should be playing in a Super Bowl at some point, and instead they're not. Mahomes versus Mayfield. This is interesting because they got into a shootout in college, and I wish that Mayfield was working with more than a squirt gun so he could get into a shootout this weekend.
Yeah, no, you're right. It is a good NFL weekend. This is a good red zone
Saints-Rams.
It's a good weekend for the Bengals to not play.
It's a perfect. It's perfect because red zone Sunday, I can't wait. Final thing, the Warriors, they're officially bored 2 weeks into the NBA season. They were working out with a Harlem Globetrotter.
So they're going to like perfect the play where you pull down the guy's pants and dribble past him, that kind of thing?
Oh, my God. I want that to happen. Is it bad I want that to happen to Lance Stephenson? He'd get so mad.
If that happened to Lance Stephenson, a full-out fracas would break
out.
It
would be the best. Did you see him try to throw a behind-the-back alley-oop
the
other night?
Yeah.
Behind-the-back alley-oop.
Poor LeBron.
Hey, LeBron, catch!
By the way, we were talking off-air. Luke Walton's getting the screws put to him by Magic Johnson.
Yep, could be. Seat officially hot in Los Angeles. Hey, Magic, I'll be the next head coach. That's going to do it for us.
You do notice what happens to coaches with LeBron, right?
They get gone. Mm-hmm.
Only Eric Spoelstra survives.
Yep, he was great, though. Eric Spoelstra, great, great coach. And he had D-Wade there. That's going to do it for Mo and myself.
Does.
There's a ton.
There's his bones.
On ESPN1530.com.
Is Hugh Jackson still on TV? Is he ever going to shut up?
Still. He's talking Rams Saints. Maybe he should be this game.
I'm
breaking down
you,
NFL games.
You do that. Be on TV. Your suit looks great. That's
Bengals
Hugh.
Pep rally today at 3:05. Stephen A. Smith Show is next on ESPN1530.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.